chest.
Okay.
Cool.
Welcome to the podcast for Empathy and Imagination. My name is Aubrey Cloutier.
I'm Drew Clark.
And this is episode 25.
Welcome.
Thanks for listening.
This is the podcast where we explore the concepts of empathy and imagination.
And converse and share with each other, our guests, and our listeners.
Instead of saying no, we try to say yes and.
And also try to avoid the word should.
Mm-hmm. We also try to avoid that word. Why would we do that?
I don't know. Maybe because should seems to come from, it seems to be almost authoritarian. One of the only valid contexts in which you could use should would be if you were an employer. If you were a boss talking to your employee, should.
Yeah, that kind of is the only relationship. Or coach, maybe. Like if you're coaching a softball team and they're like, what should we do? And you'd be like, you should run out to the field now and play the game, right?
Right.
I guess that would fit too.
In a teaching.
Yeah, like a teaching boss or coach environment.
I could see that.
But like that's all things that I think require consent.
Yeah. And I guess the impetus for changing or thinking about new ways to say should has its origins in people who really have no authority trying to tell you what to do. Saying should in a way that sort of means like an imperative, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's forced.
Yeah.
Like you're wrong if you don't.
Right. So wouldn't it be wonderful if is a nice substitute. Won't it be fantastic when?
Wouldn't it be cool if?
Wouldn't it be cool if?
That's like it's more of a, you know, who knows?
Yeah, question. Would it not be cool if this happened?
And then one could say, oh, I do not think it would be cool. And then you would know. And that'd be a fine answer.
Yeah. So I'm not I'm not a fan of censorship, but I think it's a worthwhile kind of experiment to maybe soften language, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe it's a more nonviolent way of.
It's like making things an invitation. Like I try to posit my questions as an invitation so they don't land as that they're being forced, like they'll be wrong if they don't do what I'm requesting, because I really want to ask out of the joy of wanting, you know, like so people can give to me out of the joy of giving instead of any other motive, like they feel like they'd be bad if they didn't or they should for some moral or otherwise reason. I just want people to do things for me because it meets their need to contribute.
I guess one way of doing that would be to phrase it as purely subjective every time. So instead of saying, wouldn't it be cool if, or should, or whatnot, you could say, I think it would be cool to see this. So there's nothing on them at all.
Speaking,
they don't even
have
to answer.
Well, hey, my phone's ringing.
Here we go.
Let's put it on. There.
Hold on. Yep.
Hello?
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 Drew, this is Rosemary from the city of Richmond.
Hi.
Hi. What is it that you needed?
Well, I had a quick question. It was, so I'm looking at starting a brewery at 999 West Cutting.
Uh-huh.
And we had a bathroom question. We wanted to check to see what were the legal requirements, if we could.
What do you mean?
Well, like, we're curious about, there's two addresses there, and we're looking at renting one or both, And we're wondering if there needs to be one ADA if we rent just one 1,700 square foot space.
Oh, that would be the inspector question. Let me transfer you to an inspector if he's at his desk. If not, leave your name and number. Okay? Hold on.
Okay.
Welcome to the bureaucracy.
Your call is being forwarded to a ShoreTel voicemail system.
Huh.
Chris Costantua
is out of the office. Please leave a message at the tone. When finished, you may hang up or press pound for additional options.
Hi, Chris. My name is Drew Clark. I have a quick question about bathrooms, ADA, and legality as far as me attempting to open a business at 999 West Cutting. I'd love a call back at your earliest convenience. Thank you.
Cool. Very concise. Well done. Whew.
Ooh. Maybe we'll beep out my phone number, you know.
That's like a... yeah. Well, that's...
Whew.
That's hardcore. Almost a...
yeah.
Into some sort of gradient update.
Although, Update. Okay, so... Gradient update is... first of all, this gradient update is brought to you by... Senta Schumacher. She was staying here for a while, and she's a real great lady, and she left some beer here, and we're gonna drink it. So thanks, Senta.
Thank you, Senta.
It's the Coors.
The Coors. I used to live near Coors. I used to live near Coors Brewery.
Oh, yeah?
In Golden, Colorado.
And pretty soon you're gonna live near Gradient Brewery.
Huh. Tell me more about that.
Well, maybe. We had a meeting today, so our audience knows that we found this building, 999 West Cutting in Richmond, two blocks off of Point Richmond, and they have a new management company operating this large set of warehouses, and they're still figuring out the relationship with the ownership, and we made a request. Literally, a month went by before they gave that request to the owners.
Right.
So then a week later, they're like, let's have a meeting today or tomorrow or the next day. Okay. Right. That's what they said.
Okay.
Or no, they said today or tomorrow. They called in the morning, Wednesday morning. They're like, okay, we'll have a meeting today or tomorrow. And we're like, okay, so you took a month. We have now 4 hours. Okay.
Well. Yeah.
So
they sat on it for a month?
Uh-huh. Okay. The management company didn't even give it to the ownership.
Do you think it was because they're just so overloaded?
I think that there's things at work I don't understand, and that maybe there are certain interests or timing or meetings that have to happen in certain orders. I don't know. But, like, I don't imagine that they hate me. But uh-huh. It's sure hard. It's looking from the outside, it seems like, what are you talking about? To everyone I share that with. So, yeah. In any case, today we had a meeting in the morning with my good friend and partner Reza and my... Oh, yeah, here's another super update in the middle. Fiance.
Super update.
I got engaged. I'm going to be married to Rebecca Claire Ainsworth in the spring of next year. And so I'll tell more about that a little later. But for now, we're still in the gradient update.
Gradient update.
So my fiance and myself and my business partner, Reza, we go and meet with our broker and their lawyer and the owner. One of the owners. There's two owners. The second owner didn't show or wasn't coming. Don't know. And the owner really liked us. And he was like, yeah, this is really great. You guys are cool. I think this would work. Let's, you know, hash out the details, write something up. It went really well. And the thing is that I think I shared last time that they said, oh, we have a bigger, in the front of the building with a grassy area.
Right.
One that would be better for your brewery, maybe right on the road, you know, a big signage opportunities. And we were like, yeah, let's take a look. Turns out they're connected. The one that's available and the other one that's available.
So do a double?
And they're both completely built out for rehearsal studios.
Huh. How did that happen?
They were growing pot. They had all these different rooms.
Yeah.
All built with power.
Right.
And water. You know. And, like, they need to be soundproofed, but...
Right.
Either one of those could be
rehearsal
studios, and the other one would be the brewery. That's what I'm talking about.
That's kick-ass. I certainly hope that
Reza's happens. On board. Yeah. Reza said, yeah.
Oh, cool. Did you show him my sketch?
No.
I don't know if you have that sketch, but...
I might have the
sketch. Yeah, I basically mapped out the whole...
Oh, yeah, one, yeah,
one
yeah.
Potential,
yeah.
One potential solution. This,
it's yeah. like... It that was wouldn't more of an quite... open... The total plan. Square feet together would be like 3,600. So your beautiful master plan would be after we took over the rest of the space.
Right.
Then we would.
And you could even, you know, you could soundproof one room at a time and just do it piecemeal. You know, you wouldn't
True
have,
that.
You wouldn't
yeah,
have
it doesn't
to do
have to,
every
yeah.
room at the same time. You do one room, you get it, you know, rented. You get some tenants, and then just kind of do it.
That's true. They wouldn't mind construction noise because that shit doesn't matter. Huh.
Hey, what do you need? Like foam and plasterboard?
And well, nail gun? Sell, huh? They sell like soundboard. We buy it in pallets and we just set it all up and then we, you know, put in lighting and it would take some time.
Yeah, well, I'm...
But I guess love, who gets to keep shit. One of those studios?
I love designing that shit.
We do.
I have so many ideas about designing. Yeah, I know.
We get a studio. A big one.
control room. Mm-hmm. Isolation room. Main
so,
studio.
So today we had a very fruitful conversation with the owner. Really liked the idea. He used the word hipster. He really liked the idea that we would be bringing in rehearsal spaces and a brewery into this his space.
Yeah.
So that was excitingly cool. And this grading update...
Was he surprised by the rehearsal space?
He was. Yeah. He was surprised. He was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. That makes sense. Everyone here would love that.
Yeah, were you like, there's nothing around?
I mean, it's just warehouse.
I mean, there's no other rehearsal. There's no other place to rehearse unless you go
to... We talked about that.
Oakland.
We talked about how there's a 2-year waiting list for OMC and that there's hourly places, but it's rough and expensive.
Yeah.
That there's a huge, huge market for this, especially...
Totally.
...attached to a brewery? Mm-hmm. Dude, do you think there'll be empty rooms there? I don't think so.
No. Place will be buzzing all the time.
Yeah. It's going to be great. And people there listen to bands and come drink a beer, too. So it's like, it's going to be...
Right.
If we can get that going, it's going to go well.
Now, is there a permit thing?
Not really.
Cause like,
we just include that on the liquor license.
Okay.
That's basically it.
Oakland Music Complex, the rehearsal studio, you know, they can't sell beer directly, but they can sell the cups.
Oh, okay.
Something. Yeah. That might have to do with zoning. It might have to do with their business is just rehearsal studios. It's not a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
So, not sure how that works out, but...
I know we'll have to hurdle paperwork. There's always going to be the paperwork monster, and you fight it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You fight it, but it never dies.
You can keep it at bay.
Yeah.
Occasionally the paper samurai comes to siege your castle, and you have to fight it off, and then, you know... Enjoy your moment of peace until the next paper samurai comes along. So that's cool. What's the next step?
Next step is today we're sending over an offer. We're going to be like, we'll give you your full asking price if you demolish the one that we're going to make into a brewery. You have to take out all those buildings, basically, because you have to have one that has the high ceilings to brew in. They demolish all that one end, then the...
Will they actually get rid of the whole building, not just the walls inside?
They'll just move the walls inside. They'll just... Because they build out a bunch of rooms, and we have to remove all those rooms so there would be space to set up the tanks and the tasting room and stuff like that.
Mm. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to make a more like a specific offer, and then they'll be like no or yes or
so and negotiation phase.
Yeah, negotiation.
Seems like phase. Everyone wants to do it.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's one owner who's like still on the fence because they say he's crotchety and slow to change, but that wasn't their word. It didn't say crotchety. They said like, you know, slower to change, and so we'll just stay that. So we're gonna see what we can do, and so. But my broker is leaving the country for a few weeks. So that's got to kind of go on. And I put something in the offer that's important. And I said, you have to give us an answer in 2 weeks. That's like part of the deal. Mm. You can't wait a month to give us an answer.
Did they respond to that?
Well, we haven't. We're sending it today.
Oh, I see. Huh. Do you have any feelings about that?
Yeah, I do. Thanks for asking. The month was really crazy trying to just hang on to their address for a month. Going to nothing.
Yeah.
So I feel really clear about that's beyond a boundary I'm willing to do.
Right.
And that if they want to work with me, I'm requesting a 2-week response time. Mm-hmm. If that's too harsh, then maybe we aren't the right relationship.
Because you're just leasing it.
Just leasing it. And they're just...
Would you eventually own it? No.
No, they are going to own it forever. They have owned it like 30 years.
Mm. What was... they were growing pot. That was the last business.
Well, they weren't. The old management company were illegally growing pot in all those places.
Okay. That was the last business that was in there, though?
That's why there's all that infrastructure.
Huh. What's plan B if that doesn't work out? Do you have another location in mind?
There are no other locations in mind.
Huh. Cool. Thanks for the update. Do you feel like that's the full update?
I feel like that's the
full update. Feel clear on the update?
Yeah, that's the update.
Okay. Gradient update. Today's episode is brought to you by Final Corp, helping the world to slide mayonnaise onto food for over 50 years. Thanks, Final Corp, for supporting us.
Final Corp. Finally, a corporation with only its best interests in mind.
Final Corp. 50 flavors of mayonnaise, 50 years of experience.
Final Corp. It'll be fine.
So have you decided on who, are you going to do the whole traditional, she takes your name, or are you going to keep your own name? Are you going to take her last name?
You know, we actually talked about this a lot.
I've thought of that myself.
We talked about making up a new name.
Okay.
And both taking the new name.
Hyphenated name? What about that?
No. She's not interested in being hyphenated.
Yeah. Because then if you have kids who also hyphenate and you keep doing that, eventually you have your great-granddaughter has a 5-hyphened last name.
Yeah.
So I'm down with making up new names. Cool. Didn't the mayor of L.A. do that? Or maybe he took his wife's name.
But I haven't yet come across anything that I think is cooler than my current last name.
Right.
So it has to be cooler than my current last name. So that might happen, but until then, I don't know. It's kind of in the air still what we're going to do.
Hmm. Well, as long as it begins with C, then I'm down.
Okay, cool. Nice. We share the same initials. A-C-A-C.
Ainsworth.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of cool name.
Mm-hmm. Ainsworth is a cool name.
Sounds very upper class.
Mm-hmm. But Clark is like a nice Irish, you know, like, yeah, you can trust him.
Simple. Easy to say.
Yeah.
Did she have any suggestions for names? Had she come up with any?
I mean, they were more like the ones we sort of would dream up were just too far out there. They were like, you know, Moon Star or something. It just wasn't, you know. So I wanted to be cooler than my current last name. So that's right. A prerequisite. So as far
what
as
if
traditional,
it was a tribute name, tribute to some
like
somebody.
Empathy or something. I thought of that, like Drew Empathy. Rebecca Empathy.
What about tribute? It's a Drew Tribute.
Drew Tribute.
No, I mean like naming it after a relative or, you know, an ancestor.
Well, my grandpa, his name was Donald. It could be like Drew Donald.
D.D.
You know.
Clarksworth.
We thought of that. Ainslark, also, the other way.
Lark is kind of cool. Huh. So you've thought about it, but yeah. No conclusions yet.
No conclusions. We're going to do, what we want to do is we want to have a meadow surrounded by trees where there's like a cool looking place with chairs where we do like a ceremony of our kind of own creation of weird, witchy, hippie metal. And some, including the parents' traditional, like, you know, kind of playing that game.
Folding chairs, audience.
Maybe dancing. Thing. I don't know. Maybe I had this thought that I would ask everyone to take their shoes off before we started. Like, have them stand on the grass, their feet touch the ground, you know. So that was a thought.
You could do it in the round, too. Like, have the
chairs. Yeah, they could be a circle around us.
In concentric circles around them. The thing,
so like a meadow,
you know, with four aisles, you know. So it's like a Simon.
I can picture it. Yeah, I can see it. So that worked too. Maybe we'd be spinning on a disc. Who knows? But like, yeah, do some kind of cool ceremony, and then right in the same place, basically, huge bonfire feast, dancing, fire spinners, live music, DJs, until the sun comes up, and then right there's your tent set up, your camping there.
Right, right.
So we would be like probably yurt status, really bridal, you know, sweet. But that's pretty much what we want to do. So we got to figure out where to do that and how it's going to go.
I'm sure she's already planning out some aspects of it right now.
I'm sure.
She seems very traditional in that way.
She's a nice blend of traditional and witchy.
I think I asked her that once, and she's like, yeah, I am. That's exciting.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah, so I feel really good about that. Oh, so let me tell the engagement story.
Oh, yeah.
So we're on her family's, our family's now, annual camping trip to this lovely place called Dinky Creek.
Where's Dinky Creek?
It's in California. It's up in the Sierras, kind of past Merced.
How far away is that?
4 hours.
Okay.
From Richmond, California.
Past Redding, north of Redding.
No, it's south. Southeast.
Dinky Creek.
Mm-hmm. And so it was a really lovely place. The creeks were bubbling and the water was higher than last year. And, you know, there's pools to swim in and we went to lakes and there's all kinds of food and it's fun. I'm hanging out with her family. We're having a great time. And I had thought I'd either ask her on this trip or
at Burning Man,
which is a whole other topic
we're going to
go over today.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Well, I'm glad that you did it on the trip. It seems more,
it's like more
intimate.
Yeah, it was. Because, like, so we were doing these walks before hikes. That's a walk. Hawk.
Yeah.
It was a hike walk.
Hike walk.
Thanks, Brain.
That's like a wog. When you see someone like crossing the street and making it look like they're going faster than they're actually going, you know? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like kind of like
robotic
making
elbows.
It look like they're jogging, but they're not. They're just going the same speed as walking. That's wogging. Anyway.
Okay.
Go ahead. So you were on a hawk.
We were on a hawk. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll just do it now. And it was like this hawk that they had named after like a grandfather in the family, and he'd go on this hawk, and it was really special. And I was gonna do it there. I was like, no, that's not the right vibe. You know, I knew that we were gonna go to these pools one of the days, and that would be the right vibe. So we're swimming around. She's looking at me, and we're kind of being cutesy, and she says something to the degree of,
"What's on your mind?"
You know, it's a good thing it's you who's going to propose to me, because if it would have been me, I'd have done it 100 times by now.
So she knew something was up.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it a good bit. And
well, she could probably tell that you were thinking about it, too, on the hawk.
I asked her later. She said no. She was totally surprised.
Huh.
So
chalk it up to intuition, I guess.
She's in the water, right? And there's this big boulder in the middle. And she climbs up on that. She's just looking at the water, chilling out. And I go up and I grab the rings. I swim back over to where she is. And I kind of...
You had the rings like in your stuff?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I went... Yeah, I had my backpack and I went and swam over to her. To this rock in the middle.
Were you getting rattlers in the stomach at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I was so nervous like the whole 2 days before that. I was just like...
Knowing she'll say yes.
I knew she's
still...
Still.
Yeah, still.
It's still a big deal. I was super nervous.
Hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Whew. So I swim up, and I'm like, fuck.
Good thing you were in the water, so you could just, like, pee and poo.
Yeah, she won't get in trouble.
Shit your shorts.
No biggie.
With impunity.
Yeah. So I kept putting my arm around her, and I said, you've waited long enough.
Hmm.
And I told her that she's... all of the things that I was looking for and so much more. And what I had written down was empathy, love, talent, trust,
check,
and beauty.
Check.
So she has all of those things in spades and so much more.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, she cried.
Yeah, of course.
She super cried and she was very happy, and her mom was crying, and everyone cheered. And they were about 20 feet away. We waved up from the rock, and it was good.
So they knew. How did they know?
The mom knew. I told the matriarch of the family beforehand. I was like, hey, look, I have a surprise. I have a ring for Rebecca. I'm going to give it to her later today. And she started crying.
You told her at the beginning of the trip, or like?
Like the morning of the
day of.
The day of. I didn't tell her until the morning of. So it was.
Gotcha.
She wasn't like carrying that around the whole time. Right. You know? I just wanted to be like, boom, check this out. And she was like, oh. She was very happy.
Striking when the iron is hot.
Yeah. And like then it. I went out and did it on this hike. And it was cool. Beautiful forest, flowers everywhere, pools warm. It's like.
Perfect.
Perfect.
As much as perfect.
As much as, you know, and these dogs are acting all crazy, but that's.
Yeah, yeah.
They're dogs.
Huh. Nice, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks for listening, everybody. We have the topic teaser that we teased on the other topic.
The what?
Burning Man. There's that topic. That's a big topic. But
jump right into that.
Okay, let's jump into that, and then we'll get another one going.
Burning
Man. Okay, so we have a topic.
Feel the burn now?
We're feeling the burn. Aubrey got his ticket for the 2016 Burning Man event.
Yes.
So do I. We're both going to Burning Man.
So some context here. I've never been.
Yeah.
And I guess I missed the first sale. Drew encouraged me to apply to the low income ticket, right? Which is kind of half price. So I submitted some kind of shoddy documentation. I didn't feel like it was sufficient, you know. I wasn't confident that it was sufficient when I submitted it. But like a good Boy Scout, I wrote a good essay and about why, you know, why I wanted to go. And I think that might have tipped the scales in my favor.
I think that's a good chance.
I think maybe that was more important than the documentation.
How long was your essay?
It was only a couple paragraphs, I think.
That's perfect, actually. I was going to say, you don't want it too long.
No.
But if it's a good 3 paragraphs, I'm sure that helped, of course.
Yeah. It's like, why do you, you know, why do you want a logo on a ticket or something? And I was like, I'm a burning virgin.
Yeah. You're soon going to lose. You're going to pop your cherry on the dust. It's going to be so good.
I think maybe I said I was a journalist or something. Or, you know, I'm going to record my experiences and hopefully share ideas.
You're going to be performing live music, too.
Sharing emotions, ideas, and feelings in an honest way. So I was accepted.
He's in. I'm in. We're going to be doing the podcast for Empathy and Imagination on location, Burning Man, episode 29 or something.
Something like that. From the desert.
Black Rock City.
Black Rock City.
Well, so we'll get whatever microphones we can get, and we're going to make it happen.
It's funny because we're probably going to play some Black Rock.
Good chance
that might
of
be,
that.
That might be the name of the genre.
Black Rock?
Yeah. Huh. The thing that's kind of good does with you on the metal drums and me on the guitar or whatnot.
Yeah, Black Rock.
Black Rock. Because I'm very much a rock guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love I do love prog in some ways, you know. Some Mars Volta in small doses. Yes, I love. So I like prog rock. I also love rock, of course. And also have some experience on the kind of metal side.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much and not as intensely as you do. I've never been in a full black metal gravity blast band. But I think that maybe articulates what our crossover is. Black metal and rock.
Black rock.
Black rock.
That's pretty cool. It's kind of good.
It's kind of good. So, I'm excited to go and see what it's all about.
So
I have a little, you know, nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Nervous about, I have to move, well, because I have to move out. So I have to move out of the apartment that I'm in by September 1st. And Burning Man takes place on the last week of August. So there's going to be some overlap there, which means I have to figure out my living situation a week before the end of August. So that's a source of some anxiety. And also, I have to prepare for Burning Man.
Yeah.
So it's almost like I have to prepare to move to Black Rock City. If we combine those two concepts.
Oh my God, it really, really, really is that. And you'll see when you get there what I mean. That is what's happening.
And I'll probably be like, oh, if only this just went on all the time.
Yeah.
I would just stay here.
Fly Ranch.
And so that's interesting to think about.
I'm so excited.
And really, you know, the most, my prized possessions are very few, but the thing I have the most of, it takes up the most space, is my books. I just have a lot of books. And I'm not really wanting to part with all that bookage.
Yeah.
But yeah, Burning Man, pretty psyched. I guess I'm not too worried about what to bring.
Huh.
I'm very laissez-faire in that sense.
Well, you are a bike order warrior, so you're going to be more prepared than most just with your bike order stuff, right? And there are some...
Yeah.
There are some added... there's some choice thing motions to take from experience, they say.
Tent within a tent. I have a tent.
Mm-hmm.
I could have my tent in my back of my van. That would work.
You couldn't put it up fully, though. It would fit, though. That wouldn't work, yeah.
Hammock in the van, that would work.
Hammock in the van would work.
And maybe I asked you this. What do you think the biggest challenge of Burning Man is? Water or
the biggest
refrigeration?
Challenge of Burning Man is probably like day 4. When you are feeling dirtier than you want to for longer than you want to.
Yeah. You're kind of like, okay, is the trip done yet?
Yeah. You're like, is it done? I want it to be done. Usually people have this dip. Most people record this, that this happens for them most years, or they want to go home about halfway through. And they just let that experience happen. And then you take a nap. And usually you're like, oh my God, there's only a few days left.
Right.
Oh my God. And then you have this new renewed, like, thank God I'm here.
And everyone's kind of experiencing that.
Yeah. Different even, times, but yeah. You see a bummer face here and there.
Even the veterans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, I can't believe I'm still dirty, still doing this 10 years in. This is my fifth year in a row.
Oh, shit. There's only a couple days left.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, that's the hardest part.
I'm excited to do some research, figure out maybe there might be some minor celebrities that would be there. Maybe we could track down.
Oh, a new little episode. Something. Yeah, that's possible. One of the things about Burning Man is it's really hard to find people.
Sure.
Because you're like, oh, hey, is Steve here? And they're like, yeah, Steve's here. And they go, can you get him? And like, oh, wait, no, he's not here. He's like, oh, but he's going to be here at 3 because he has the show he's going to do here at 3. And then who, dude?
Because the phones are done.
Phone? Right? No. There's no phones. Phone. No.
No GPS, no phones, no texting. So it's all kind of like general time. I mean, I imagine it's general time frames and locations.
Yeah, that's looser there.
I welcome that because that's like the life before cell phones.
Yeah.
I mean, there was once a time in my life when that was kind of day-to-day life. I'd be skateboarding, and I would have no contact with my parents all day. And then, like, once I'm at someone's house, I'd call, you know.
Yeah.
But in between those times, there was no communication. So, I kind of like that idea of not knowing where people are when, you know. Having just general windows of opportunity.
And yet, if we could manage walkie-talkies...
Do people have walkie-talkies?
Yeah.
Okay.
If we could manage that,
I'm all about that.
See, that's the thing. It's like the other end of that is like, I would love walkie-talkies.
Yeah, me and my tribe, right?
Yeah.
The tribe I'm part of.
Your camp.
It behooves family. Us to communicate with one another. And
at least occasionally.
At least occasionally.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I haven't seen you in a couple of days.
Yeah, are you alive?
Yeah, well, walkie-talkies, fuck yeah, I'm down.
Yeah. It's like, I really want to bring the 400-watt QSC amp, because if we did that, we could do everything. But we need 400 watts of power. Yep.
You could bring your drum set, you don't need any power for that motherfucker.
Oh, I'm going to bring the drum set. Oh, that's happening.
Good, because that needs to come out of the shed.
Yeah. Yeah, so why don't you bring that over whenever, and okay. I'll take it over.
Yeah, I'll do the work. Well, so, that's good. That's exciting.
Yeah, so we're going to bring the drums. It's
going to get dirty as fuck, but
yeah, they wash up.
It's kind of a POS anyway.
Yeah, it's perfect, because it's still loud.
PPOS.
And it's not worth anything. It's all really old and tired, so it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's a beater. It's a beater set.
So we're going to bring that out there, and we're going to play music.
With acoustic guitar, electrics. Yeah,
you and me are going to be performing live It's Kinda Good and Aubrey Cloutier music.
Should I bring my... What should I bring in terms of instruments?
Everything you can. Acoustic guitar. As much
as what fits.
Your electric guitar and an amplifier. Do you have an amplifier?
I could borrow one. I don't have one, but I could borrow
Okay. Really? If you could just get walkie-talkies and a generator.
Well.
You mean inverter?
Car lighter. Inverter. From your car lighter. That's not going to be enough juice. Mm-mm. That's only like 140
maybe.
Watts.
Yeah.
Max.
And I have a 400-watt
right.
inverter.
You need
full-on
generator.
We need a 2-kilowatt generator at least.
To carry like gallons of gas in the back of my minivan.
Like
just a walking fucking bomb.
We could put it in the trailer. That'd be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, we're getting a trailer.
So, okay, that's interesting. So your trailer would be... Would there be enough in the room in the trailer for... Everyone's shit?
If you're bringing your van too, your van's going to be full. Mm-hmm. Really full of everyone's shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But we could put so much of the heavy stuff in the trailer.
I mean, we'll have room for everyone's stuff between the two of us.
Yeah.
Vandra and trailer and...
Bluey.
Blue Lightning.
Blue Lightning. That's my bike's
Blue
name.
Thunder.
Blue Thunder. There we go.
I love that movie, by the way.
Okay, so Blue Thunder will be packed to the gills with costumes and...
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, costumes.
Oh, make sure your registration, all the taillights, everything.
I just replaced my taillight the other day.
Cool. Everything's got to be tippity-top.
Proud of myself. When the turn signal starts doing it faster, that means that there's a short. It's not getting...
Mm-hmm.
That's what I realized.
Uh-huh.
My turn signal on left was like... And that means, yeah, it's not getting... Signal's not... The circuit isn't completed. The light isn't on in the back, so I replaced it.
Good job. So that's your set there.
Yeah,
Reg is up to date.
Reg is up to date. Everything's good there.
So bringing my favorite medicine into the state of Nevada is a scary choice.
Is that... What does that mean? Is there like customs?
No. There's not customs. But if the cops want to be poop heads, they pick you out of a bunch and they search your car and they put you in jail or they tax you heavily or both.
For possession of...
Anything. Anything.
Any Class C substance?
Class C, Class B, Class A. One function, two function.
I didn't know that. So what did you do? How did you get around that before?
Well, I've never taken anything illegal to anywhere ever, but friends of mine, what they told me.
Yeah, what did your friends, that close friend of yours,
my buddy told me, he said that if I were to just have everything legal in my vehicle and drive normally between Reno and Gerlach, they're only going to be pulling over the people that are looking real crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Which there's a bounty of people looking right. real
a
crazy.
Lot more easy targets than
yeah
than
you. So if we're just like in a white van cruising at the speed limit,
not
like,
going to Burning Man, just going
there's only people are going to Burning Man there, but it's really like if you're all like hanging out the window
right
or like swerving, it's like
yeah
it's over. You need to be like the windows up, like
mm-hmm.
you know
mm-hmm.
we're quiet and we're fine, thank you officer kind of vibe.
Yeah
Passing through. Just passing through.
So they have dogs? The vibe.
Yep.
Yeah. So yep. they'd be able to find it even if you stashed it in a fucking weird place.
I mean, the van has hiding places that are pretty weird. But actually, both vans do.
What did your friend do?
Well, my friend, he took apart one of, a brake light, I think. And then, put it inside there mm-hmm. and then screwed it up with a screw gun. And then just did the speed limit and nothing ever happened. That's the thing.
Huh. Is it that important to get anything in? I mean, can you acquire those things once you're inside?
You cannot.
Huh.
You may be gifted things in certain scenarios.
Yeah, that's what I
mean. But one cannot acquire.
I mean, that's what I mean. It's like it's floating around.
It is. Huh. They are. But it's so funny how that's so amazingly true, and that's like one small piece of such an enormous place.
Right. Well, okay, that's a hurdle. A hurdle.
I'm excited for your first time there, and I estimate that you're going to have a transformatively cool experience.
Sounds accurate.
Yeah.
I went to... I did MDMA when I went to Kings Island.
Whoa.
King Island.
Where is that?
King Island. Near Stockton. It's just this weird...
What's going on out there?
My drummer has been going there for a couple years, and his girlfriend has been going there for... And her family has been going there for a decade or something. But it's basically you have to be a member of this club, you know, and it's like King Island water sport club.
Okay.
Very loosely, you know, a loose kind of organization, but yeah, there's a luau that happens every year out there, and he's been going for a couple of years. That's how he met his girlfriend. He met her there. And so it's just this crazy, huge group of people on this island. There's a band, cafeteria style food.
Huh.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Did you have to pay to get in?
Technically I did, but I sort of piggybacked on his girlfriend's pass, so I actually didn't pay anything.
Huh.
But this all sounds very official, but really it's like you just go to the dock, they pick you up, you drive to the island.
Oh, on the boat?
It's like, yeah.
Oh.
And very loose. I didn't interact with any officials. No one checked it. Shit. No one checked any IDs or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this insular little thing.
That's cool.
But yeah, super cool.
You had the chance to use MDMA.
Yeah. My drummer had some MDMA. Little capsules.
Uh-huh.
Shit was...
Did you go crazy?
No, I was just super psyched.
Did you... Oh, tell me more.
Just happy, giving my drummer a lot of shit. In a lovable way, in a very kind of Boston, Massachusetts way. Yeah, I don't know, just having fun playing croquet.
Okay.
I knew croquet, I knew how to set up the board, I knew how to play. So I was kind of instructing people how to play. Played some croquet, watched the band, did some dancing, completely devoured pulled pork sandwiches. Just wolfed it down, unbelievably inhaled this food. Went swimming. Yeah, it was cool. Met some new people. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was great. It was like a little mini vacation. A little weird because you don't know anyone. I didn't know anyone that was there except
was my drummer, everyone Benji. Partaking in the magic?
No, it was totally on the DL.
Wow.
You know, it's like, don't tell so-and-so.
Yeah.
And you know me, I'm the soul of discretion. I'm not going to tell anybody anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was funny. It was like these, like gel caps of MDMA.
Huh.
Almost like a clear gel cap with a little, like, golden pellet. It looked like some kind of magical thing.
Huh.
It wasn't like what you and I did that one time.
Was the...
Like, you know, rock candy.
Yeah, yeah. What did you have, like, a euphoric experience?
I was very happy to do everything I did.
That's cool.
There was no, like, epiphany.
Oh, no epiphanies happened?
No. It was just like, dancing's cool. I am really cool. I like everybody. And cool. Everyone's cool. Nice. You know, it's that kind of thing. Yeah.
That's the vibe.
Watching like the house band was fun.
They're rocking.
Trying out. To talk to those guys was funny too, because they probably always get drunk guys trying to talk to them.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, talking to the bassist, and he was just completely closed, clamshell.
The bassist was
nothing to say. Did not want to talk at all.
Huh.
And, you know, I had guys that were way too drunk, like, fucking with me and stuff. And, you know, you just stand up for yourself and they totally back down.
Wow. So
that was interesting.
Huh.
You know, like, guys that are super wasted. Just you're just sitting there minding your business talking about something to somebody. And they come up and just start making fun of you and shit.
What,
you know?
Really? At this party?
Yeah, totally.
That sounds weird.
I mean, not a lot. It was just like one person, one huh. guy, really. And then, you know, you just meet him on his turf, and he just demurs and leaves.
Hmm.
Just can't keep up. Huh. He wants to fight with fists, And you just fight him with words and just completely shrivels.
Interesting. Huh. Sounds like some imagination right there.
Yeah, the key is, you know, is if you stand up for what you believe in and you're honest about it, people usually back down if they're giving you shit. You know?
Yeah.
Making fun of your name or something, you know?
How did you how did you create a boundary?
I told the truth.
What'd you say?
I said, hey, no one wants you or asked for you. No one asked for your opinion. And you've demonstrated that you're not capable of kind of interacting with us on a level playing field. So why don't you just go away? That would probably be better for everybody.
Whoa.
You know, because he's just in your face giving you shit.
Mm.
When you're just sitting there talking to someone else, and it's like, whoa, suddenly who is this guy? Not a big deal. My drummer also almost got in a fight. I wasn't a witness to that, but...
Wow, I'm sounding...
I can understand why that would happen.
Huh.
Some people want to fight, you know? That's their only means of proving themselves is by physical force.
Oh.
And sure, that's one way to prove yourself, but it's kind of the most simplistic way. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of those guys, you just defeat him with words. I remember one time this guy was making fun of my name. It was years ago. He's like, oh, fucking Aubrey, you know, what the fuck kind of name is that? So I actually gave him an answer. A very long-winded answer of the origins of the name and where it originated and how it changed throughout time. And he was just like, total overload.
Couldn't handle.
And he just sat down, cross Indian style, cross legged, and was just done. Like that was it. I refused to meet him on his aggressive turf, and you know, what are you gonna do? I don't want to fight people. I don't want to use physical violence.
Hmm.
You know, I'd much rather just diffuse the situation with words. I've heard that tall people get fucked with more than short people, though.
Hmm.
Do you get fucked with a lot?
I don't. It never happens.
High school.
I mean, in high school, there was in middle school there were challenges with all kinds of stuff in that direction. Even before I was tall in middle school, there was like
because of the wolf shirts.
You know, maybe it was because of the wolf and lightning shirts. Maybe it was some other reason, but I definitely had challenges with people wanting to harm me.
But once you got tall, you didn't experience, like, more people fucking with you?
In high school, yes, but not afterwards.
Hmm. Because a lot of my tall friends say, yeah, I just get fucked with more.
Huh.
Because I'm tall.
Hmm.
And, you know, I'm just curious if that's a thing.
It could be. I'm
not sure if it is. You know?
I don't know.
Skeptical.
Yeah.
Needs more evidence.
Yeah, we need more evidence on that one.
So, yeah, King Island. It's fun.
King Island, cool.
Very fun. You know, it's like there's tents set up there just year-round because people are just going there all the time.
They just leave the tents up?
Yeah, tents are just up.
You use the tents?
Yeah. I was like, oh, should we knock it? You know, I was like, wow, this tent looks really dirty. I was thinking to myself, this top of this tent looks like, you know, it's all these sap drippings on it. So should we break down the tent? Like, no, it's just stays up.
Wow. Huh.
It's cool.
Shit. Okay.
So I went to Shasta the weekend before and then I went there. So it was.
Damn. Yeah. So you did all kinds of cool.
It's kind of a nice life.
Bumpkin activities. Yeah.
Kind of a nice, life. I don't know if it's sustainable, though.
You know,
it camp sounds, every weekend.
It sounds good.
Camp every weekend. Oh, you have a tune you wanted to play, right?
I do. And, well, we got a phone call to make.
It's time for Sounds Good.
These drums just go on and on. It's cool, man. Thanks.
Okay.
Sounds like a war march or something.
And here we are.
I like how the bass is mixed very highly.
And here we are going into battle.
Hi, this is Anthony. Can't get to the phone right now, so please leave a message. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Hey, Anthony. This is Drew calling you again to talk to you about my friend who is looking for a space and the recent opening at 5215. Love to chat about that as soon as we can. Thanks. Bye.
Cool. Thanks again to Final Corp. Perennial supporters of this podcast. Final Corp.
It'll be fine.
Perennial supporters of this podcast. I'd like to thank Final Corp. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. And Inferno for sleeping. I'd like to thank you, Drew, for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you, Aubrey. Thanks to you, listeners. Thanks for keeping that empathy and imagination going.
Wishing I was podcasting on the show.